The Feed.
Welcome to episode 81 of The Feed, the official Libsyn podcast, the podcast that takes it beyond how to podcast into keeping you podcasting with podcasting tips and information for the everyday podcaster and taking you inside Libsyn, the largest podcast host and distribution network since 2004. Hi, my name is Elsie Escobar and I am the Libsyn community manager, otherwise known as a podcaster happiness expert. I get the opportunity to work at getting to know you and promote you and let you know about Libsyn primarily via social media and these podcasts. How are you? Truth be told, we are just now starting to recover from International Podcast Day, which was super fun. And you'll be hearing about it later on in the episode, as well as a discussion about Nielsen wanting to get into the podcast statistics business, more apps focusing on discoverability, updates on Spotify, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio, the scoop on Spanish podcasters, and stats, people. Woohoo! Are you ready to get started? Here is our first promo of the episode, The Quest for Magic and Steel.
Come and join us for an adventure, a quest for Magic and Steel. MagicandSteel.com. Don't forget the last E for entertainment. Steel. STEELE. MagicandSteel.com. See you there.
On the Libsyn blog. Oh my gosh, did you know we had a blog? Well, we do. And most of the times we feature you guys. Here are some of the super cool features that we've had on the blog in the past couple of months. Spiritual Bazaar. Support is Sexy. Armchair Ninja Podcast. The Awakened Goddess Show. EgoNet Cast. Curve the Ball. The Last Ship. Oh my gosh, and so much more. So you guys, blog.libsyn.com. Go peruse the blog. It's a good time, especially when you're looking for some inspiration around podcasting. If you've come to roadblocks on how to promote your show, what gear to use, what, you know, just inspiration around the whole idea so that you don't feel that you're alone. It's super, super neat. Here is our next promo of this episode, Talk, Tales, and Trivia.
Hello, this is Stephanie, Talk Tales and Trivia, the podcast where I pick positive, fun, interesting, and yes, sometimes quirky, topics of past and present American pop culture. You can listen at home, you can listen in your car, you can listen to me wherever you are. So sit back, relax, listen, and maybe laugh a little for goodness sakes. Don't forget, tune in every week for another new episode of Talk Tales and Trivia with me, Stephanie.
Do you want to be featured on the Libsyn blog or a possible upcoming episode of The Feed? Here's what you have to do. Email thefeed@libsyn.com. That is all. Tell me in the subject line that you want to be a Rockin' Libsyn podcast, and I will respond with the details of what I need from you in order to get you featured on the vlog. If you have a 30-second or less promo, an audio promo, you're welcome to send it to me in an email. You don't even have to ask. You just say, here's my 30-second promo for you to use on the feed. And all I really ask is that it's 30 seconds or less and that it's clean so that it doesn't have any colorful language in it. Again, you can email that over at thefeed@libsyn.com and I will add it to the mix. We usually promote 3 podcast promos in every show, as you've heard 2 already. So you have the opportunity to promote yourself via the podcast promo. That's like one way to do it. And or via the blog feature a la Rockin' Libsyn Podcast, right? So that is cool. Very cool. I am looking forward to getting your requests and your submissions over at thefeed@libsyn.com. And now, For our main chunk of content, my conversation with Rob Walsh, the VP of Podcaster Relations, over at Libsyn, right after our last promo of this episode. What a predicament.
Join me, Alex, as I peer into some of the predicaments of the modern day and age in What a Predicament, a podcast that strives to shed some light on the hard and not so hard-hitting issues alike, all in this delightful accent. As you clearly listen to the feed, you might be interested in episode 10, where I investigate when podcasting became a thing and get some podcasting advice from some pros. Season 1 of What a Predicament is just wrapped up. You can check out every episode at whatapredicament.libsyn.com.
Hi, Rob.
Good generic time of the day, Elsie.
Yay! So, has any hurricanes been affecting you at all?
Well, no, where I... You don't get hurricanes. You can't get a hurricane in Kansas City. By the time you get here, it's been downgraded to a tropical storm. My son Henry was like, he was like scouring the internet this week, trying to find out if there's ever been a storm that hit Kansas City that was still considered a hurricane.
Oh, wow. And well,
you know, there's been the remnants of hurricanes, but there's never been one that's still a hurricane by the time it gets up here.
Yeah.
It's just not possible.
Yeah. I kind of figured it's so hard because it's like, as we're recording, we hear things that are happening with Hurricane Matthew, but we don't really know yet a lot of stuff. You know, it hasn't really done
much. Well, we have Paul down in Florida, and it's affecting him, so.
Oh, yeah, that's
so be
right.
Safe.
Yeah, be safe, peeps. And just a really quick update, guys. We had International Podcast Day that followed. Like, that was actually, it was a week ago today that we were recording with you and I here. It was our first like full day of streaming and education from Libsyn. We attempted to use all kinds of fun technology.
Which taught us a very valuable lesson.
It did. It did.
We like not live.
Wait, you know what?
There's well, at least like, I do.
I know. Yeah, I know. And it's tough. I have to say, Rob, I agree with you in a lot of different ways because I was just, you know, it's so hard. There's been so many different times when, you know, holding a class or having people meet you online at a specific time and you work so hard to get people there. And then when the technology doesn't really cooperate, it really sucks. But the payoff of when it does pay off, you know, when it does really actually work well, is really great as well. And I think that we had a little bit of both. And for all of us, you know, there was a lot of learning going on. But, you know, the sessions were all pretty awesome. I mean, we got an opportunity to do four sessions, right? The first ones that we started was with Crystal. Crystal did Podcasting 101 and 201. Then you did Podcasting 100% from an iOS device, right?
Right. And I learned that when you are connecting your iOS device to your laptop and using QuickTime to mirror it to the screen, you can't actually use the microphone off your iOS device in Boss Jock when you're actually live streaming via Skype at the same time. So that was, I learned something new right during the demo.
Look at that.
Figured it out afterwards, which again was why I'm like, is nothing worse than finding out that there's a conflict with Skype and the live streaming and all the other stuff at that point.
Yeah.
So and actually, everything worked great in the test.
I know. And that's what happened with them too. It seems like everything worked really well with the test that they were doing. And we were using Wirecast Studio locally at the Libsyn office at headquarters over there. And there were a couple of camera setups over there. They were meant to focus in on the speaker because they were doing, you know, they were standing up and doing the stuff like as if you were a teacher in the classroom. And then there was meant to be a switch camera to the actual presentation because obviously it's a little bit hard to see the screen when you're watching it at home. So that was what was meant to happen. But for whatever reason, it seems like Wirecast had some kind of bug at switching cameras. And therefore, that didn't happen. And so it was a kind of a pain. But we do have a new chatting system as well. We've been using Cover It Live is the system that we've been using. And it was really great. So there was a lot of engagement in the chat. Tons of people talking that way. So it ended up being pretty good. So you guys, all of this stuff is going to be available in the YouTube channel. I'm not sure if you know, there's so many videos over there. It's at youtube.com/LibsynTutor, Lipson Tutor, T-U-T-O-R, and that is, I believe it's one word. And you guys can go check those out. I will have links in the show notes to, I think most of the sessions will be up by the time this goes live. Yours and mine are both already up there. Dave Jackson did one about growing your audience, your podcast audience. That was really awesome. And then that one really actually built onto the one that I taught, which was basically the social media best practices. One that I've been teaching kind of through here, but added a little bit more to it. And so you guys can go ahead and check those out. That would be awesome. Yay.
All right.
All right. So moving into some, what is this? Nielsen is now measuring podcasts, huh, Rob? What do you think about that?
Well, yeah. Well, this was an article in Radio Inc., a site that for some reason is well-respected in the radio world.
Oh. And
maybe that's part of radio's problems when sites like this are well-respected.
Oh, how do you know it's well-respected, though? How do you say that?
Because I hear from the radio people that this is a go-to site.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Anyway, the bad article du jour from Radio Inc. was titled, Nielsen to Measure Podcasts in 2017. No. Or, really? No, not really.
Really?
I mean, come on. It's like, I love this quote from the article, and this is a great quote. Quote, we've got more than 7,500 installations of it, so it's well out there, unquote. This in reference to the Nielsen SDK that they'll be doing the measuring with. And if you do quick math, you'll realize that 7,500 installations divided by 100 million podcast listeners is a really, really small percentage. I mean, Nielsen wants you to believe their SDK will get installed everywhere. No. It's not something Apple's going to add to iTunes, or Marco will add to Overcast, or Libsyn will add to our podcast apps or players. So if no one, or basically no one, is building the apps and the players that are installing this, then users are going to have to manually install this so they can have themselves tracked. Yeah, that sounds reasonable. And for Nielsen to say 7,500 people have already installed it and make it sound like it's impressive versus the 100 million podcast consumers, that means all Nielsen is doing is collecting a small sampling of data and extrapolating just like they do with radio, except this is a digital medium and extrapolation is not what advertisers want. They want hard, cold facts. Exactly how many people downloaded? And then if you're saying you can track playback, exactly how many people listen to the ad? Not what you extrapolate, but how many exactly? Because if you're extrapolating from website views, you can't say that it's the same consumption habits as those consuming on mobile and vice versa. Nielsen wants to make it sound like they are measuring actual consumption habits, but they are just taking a small sample, and extrapolating, which in the radio world is fine. That's how they've always done it. But digital buyers, they're not down with that. So that's my thoughts on that.
Well, it's basically the same thoughts you had about, who is the other one? AR19, right?
Or Acast. On the Studios.
Or like
and
all
Acast.
Of, all, yeah, I mean, all those guys. It's basically
pick
the same.
One.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, pick one.
It's, I think that there's a lot, I understand the allure of new systems, you know, because there is something great about progress and moving things forward. But I think that when you have people that already have certain habitual patterns and ways in which they behave already, it is incredibly challenging to have somebody do something different for no reason. You know, I mean, if you needed to lose weight and you were going to die if you didn't, that, and even if it was a hard choice, you would start to make some super different choices in the way that you behaved and the way that you did things. But if this is not life-threatening, it's like for a consumer, for your everyday consumer, why would you want to change the way they behave, you know, in order for somebody else to profit? So
because you want to make advertisers happy.
Oh, well, see, that's the thing. And you know what irks me the most about this? The fact that they're not, that the iterations, actually not even the iterations, but like the building on the progress that these people are making, creating these tools, are all based on something that they thought would be cool to do. This would be neat. Rather than really just studying what's happening right now with the industry and the behavior that currently is happening and seeing how you can maybe in some way add to whatever's happening now. Yeah, I'm a little floored by that. But whatever. So we have some more questions here. This one is came in to us. Hi, Elsie and Rob. I could be wrong, but it seems like it's been a little while now since we got an update on Spotify and podcasts. At the end of October, it will have been an entire year since I submitted my show to Spotify. What is their explanation for what has taken so long? Do they have plans to open up the gates and start letting more podcasts onto their service? As always, really appreciate the work that you all do at Libsyn and the Feed podcast in particular. Scott from the Warriors Huddle podcast.
Right. So hi, Scott. We've asked them this, and we would like nothing more than for them to open the floodgates. But they are working on building out their directly slowly and optimizing their algorithm. Spotify is all about the algorithm. And they want their algorithm on recommendations, and they're building it around small niches of shows that they add. So they're adding small little niches. Like one time they wanted a bunch of psychology podcasts, and then recently they wanted Spanish language podcasts. So they are going on little niches and to help do their building out of their algorithms rather than opening it up to all shows at this point. Spotify is very algorithm focused. They're still in beta with this, and they feel for their audience, it is better to get the algorithms worked out right. They know their audience way, way better than I do, so I can't argue with their approach. But like you, I would love to see it opened up to everyone sooner rather than later. But they do continue to add shows. And I can say, you know, all I can say really is please be patient. There are some really great people there at Spotify, and they are working to expand the podcasting on Spotify. Unlike Pandora, that really does not give a rat's butt about indie podcasters. So if you want to really be frustrated with someone, pick Pandora. They are the ones giving the bird to the indie podcasters. Just saying.
Just saying. All right. Yeah. So kind of building on some of this stuff, too, is interesting that I think right around when I got this message, I asked in Facebook if there were any people out there with questions so that we can sort of answer them. And then I got these. So this one's from David Mars. And he says, any news on when Google Play will finally open up to podcasts based outside of the United States? And despite it being many weeks since submitting our application, we've still had not even had a reply or even a rejection from iHeart. Oh, we changed iHeart Radio. So are they still also working through the backlog of submissions, or can we assume that our application has been unsuccessful? I know these are points beyond Libsyn's control, but figured I would ask as you're probably better informed than I. Many thanks, and keep up the work. Yeah, the great work.
All right. First of all, if you have submitted to iHeartRadio and you haven't heard back, and it's been over 2 weeks, email me, rob@libsyn.com, and give me your show slug in that email, and I will check with them. For the most part, if you have submitted to iHeartRadio and it's been over 2 weeks, you should have already gotten an email back from them, and you should be in. That said, it's still a little bit of a manual process on their end, and they have missed a couple. And once you email me and I send it to them, they'll get it up live and running. So on the iHeart side, it's not an approval process. It's just a process. So it just takes them a little time to get them through. But again, every now and then they have missed a couple, and they get those corrected right away. So in that case, Dave, email me, rob@libsyn.com. Give me your show slug. I'll check it and make sure that it's in. And also make sure you click that little accept button. I've seen some people do that where they've said, oh, I submitted, and then I went and looked in their account and they never clicked the accept button. If you don't click the accept button to the terms of service at the bottom, it doesn't get submitted to them. So you have to click that. But assuming you have, and it's been 2 weeks, email me your show slug and I will check it out. Right. Per Google Play.
Yes. Per Google Play. What's going on with that?
Yeah. I don't know. I never understood why you had to be in the U.S. to submit there. Okay, it's only going to be consumed in the U.S., but that doesn't mean that you had to limit where the podcasters were that were submitting it. So I never understood that. Hopefully they'll open that up sooner rather than later, but I haven't heard anything on that. And I'm really waiting to hear back when they're going to open up the stats API. So that has been held up inside Google. So hopefully someday soon they'll open up the stats API so we can report that into your Libsyn account. And hopefully soon they'll open it up to the world.
All right. Well, updates will be coming as soon as we hear them, so we won't keep it away from you. Then we have from Jesse Chappis, and he said, will the Spotify stats ever be combined with the general stats? I prefer to see them all together.
Not anytime soon, because Spotify stats update once a day, whereas our app stats are updating on a more continual basis. So there's not a real easy way to integrate it, the two. Without messing up a whole lot of things. So at the current point in time, no. Can't say that will always be the case, but right now there is no plans to integrate the Spotify stats into the general stats just because of how their stats update, which is once a day, whereas ours are not once a day.
But they're still all kind of in the same place-ish.
Right.
You don't have to go to different websites.
Yes, and if your numbers on Spotify are that great that it would make a significant difference, kudos to you. I've seen some shows with really big numbers on Spotify, and I've seen shows like mine, which are tech shows, that don't do well. It seems Spotify is just not good for tech shows. It's better if your show is about paranormal or religion. It seems to be, if you believe in something that isn't, you know, that you can't touch, then you do well, Spotify.
That's a good way to put it. And then finally, we had a question from Christopher Hostoski. I hope I didn't mess up your last name, Christopher. Sorry about that. And he said, 30 minutes on set-top boxes would be a good time. Let's go deep.
Well, Christopher Hostoski, because I'm always great with getting people's last names right. That's why on Today in Iowa, you always hear me say first name, last initial. Here, you know, this is something I mentioned at LA Podfest, and we'll talk about that more, the LA Podfest later in the episode. But everybody wants to run around and talk about the connected car, the connected car, the connected car. Connected car, and I've said this before, is a glorified Bluetooth speaker. And it's a glorified Bluetooth speaker for your smartphone. That's already here. That's the future. That's here. Connected car is not going to make a big impact in any direction. But if you think about how your day works and it goes, there is a point in time in your day when you're not with your smartphone, and that's when you're home. And to me, the future, when people ask me lately, what do I see in the future? Where is there opportunities for podcast growth? It's not the connected car. It's the connected home. And it's not set-top boxes. It's those little boxes. It's the Alexa. And now Google just announced their device this past week. It's where you can walk into a room when you're doing laundry, or you walk into a room when you're in the kitchen, and you can say, you know, Alexa, play the feed, or Alexa, play Today in iOS. That, to me, is more where there's some opportunities, because that's the one point in your day when you don't have your smartphone tethered to you at the hip. It may be somewhere else in the house, in your office, up next to your bed, being charged, wherever it is that you charge your phone. You spend probably more time in the day away from your smartphone, more than 10 feet from your smartphone, when you're at home, than you do once you leave your home. So that's my thought there.
Yeah, sadly, I do have my phone tethered to my hip all day long, even when I'm charging it.
I'll spend more time away from my phone when I'm at home than any other time. Now, I'm walking around with my Apple Watch, so the phone rings, I can still answer it anywhere in the house.
Yeah,
so.
That is correct. That is correct. I have to say that. You know, what I do is I listen a lot, so... as of now, the phone has been connected to me a lot because of that, because I'm listening particularly to that stuff. But I don't know.
But when I look at someone like my wife, you know, she's away from her phone more when she's home. The phone's downstairs, she's upstairs. The phone's upstairs, she's downstairs. Just happens to be where she plugged it in or forgot it. But when she's out and about, when she leaves the house, it's in her purse. It's with her. It's on her side. It's in the car. It's always with her. You know, and I look at my wife more as the average non-techie user.
That's true.
Really, non-techie
right.
user.
Yeah. That is correct. So
you can't look at. Yeah, I can't. We really, you know, I was trying to remember this. We can't look as podcasters how we do things. We have to look at the person in our life that is non-techie, that doesn't know the difference between RSS and CSS and see how they do their things. That's the majority of consumers.
Yep. It's interesting how we all do things differently like that. But and speaking of different places, that, you know, this, here's a little feedback that we got from some of our friends that are in Europe who have been doing a little bit of podcasting. They just started a new podcast. So Craig and Pilar are going to be talking to you about Spanish, or the Spanish, you know, what's going on with Spanish podcasters in this, in basically in Spain, or possibly the European scene, from their perspective. So let's hear what they have to say.
Hello, Rob. Hello, Elsie, and all of the listeners to the feed. My name's Craig.
And I'm Pilar.
And we wanted to touch base with you and tell you about a project we've started called Enclave the Podcast.
So we've decided to adopt the bilingual format for this podcast, where we speak to Spanish podcasters in the first half, well, in the first two thirds of the show. We speak with them in Spanish about podcasting, about why they podcast, their own podcasts. And then afterwards, Craig and I debrief the conversation in English. So we are aiming for the bilingual audience. And it's funny because we found lots of Spanish podcasters listening to it to then practice their English afterwards.
But why did we decide to do this? Although we have this strong Spanish connection, me, a British person living in Spain, and Pilar, a Spanish native living in London, we don't know anything about Spanish podcasting. What's going on in Spain with these Spanish podcasters? What are they doing? So that's the reason we decided to do this project in the first place. And we'd like to share with you some of the things we've discovered so far on our journey.
So the first thing we've picked up on is that actually iVoox podcast directory is very popular with content creators and consumers. It seems to be the main platform where people are hosting their shows and the main app where people are listening to them. It seems like they have 4 million users and 5,000 hours of audio.
That's from the Spanish newspaper El País, those figures. It's very similar to iTunes, but it's like a Spanish version of it. So you can listen through this platform. So it's kind of like a Spanish iTunes, and it's hugely popular over here.
And we found that there's a wide variety of podcasts and podcasters, although they don't seem to be niching down to the extent of podcasters elsewhere. And we found lots of people with shows about TV series. I was really struck by that.
And there's the usual subjects they podcast about, like gaming and tech and mobile phones. And there are some podcast coaches like Dave Jackson, for example, and Daniel J. Lewis. Spanish versions that are teaching podcasting to others in a very professional way.
Podcasts that talk about podcasting are called meta podcast.
There's a more informal vibe, in our opinion, in the podcasting community over here in Spain. They like to get together physically whenever possible. So yes, they are recording a lot over Skype, but although Spain's a fairly big country, if they're in the same community, they get together physically, they eat together before or after podcasting. Another thing we've noticed, technically, they're very, very professional and knowledgeable about podcasting. So the podcasts tend to be of very high quality.
There's starting to be a lot of cross-promotion of podcasts. And something we found is that most podcasters have at least one other podcast. And some people have two, three, and a lot that they've stopped doing. And podcast networks are starting to appear. There's a couple of them, like Nación Podcast. There's the one by Madrillano, one that Emilcar has. So lots of these podcast networks that are bringing in podcasts from different people.
The podcasters that we've spoken to tend to be very creative, very imaginative. The podcasts are very varied and flexible with the format of the podcast, with the length of the podcast, with the content and the editing. Really, really impressive imagination going into their production here.
And lots of very long 90-minute to two-hour ones as well, like entertainment format. Very interesting.
There's lots of local, regional, informal meetups around the country, mainly around the bigger cities. And there's a big event coming up quite soon, actually, in Malaga called JPod, which is a 7-day event this year, 3 days of podcasting presentations, and another 4 days of education when it comes to how to present podcasts, technically how to edit and publish podcasts. So it's a very big conference along the lines of Podcast Movement or New Media Expo, but obviously on a smaller scale. But that idea with podcast awards as well. So there's an awards ceremony at this event coming up in Malaga this month.
And one recent event that is probably going to change the profile of the medium, because podcasting is still relatively unknown amongst the general population in Spain, is the new Prisa Network. And Prisa is a big communications company. They have just released, again, a big network with lots of very high quality podcasts. I think we're talking quality like Serial. And they're hopefully going to bring in lots of new listeners. Although, of course, this it's bringing up the same debate as in the Anglo-Saxon world of what is really podcasting and who should be podcasting.
There are lots of opportunities approaching for podcasters to sell advertising, for companies to advertise through podcasts, and for podcasters to actually create podcasts for companies who need podcasts. It's not happening yet to the extent that it's happening in the US. It's taking time to be taken up, but it seems like it's on the crest of the wave, and that I think very soon we're going to see an explosion in advertising and monetization.
So we just wanted to share all that with you, but we invite you to come and listen to the podcast, which is called Enclave de Podcast. If you don't speak Spanish, then please join us for the last 10 minutes just to get a feel.
So we hope to see you and listen to you and interact with you on International Podcast Day, the 30th of September. See you then.
Well, thank you for the feedback. And that's interesting.
That's awesome.
I mean, having a podcast which is going to be a bilingual podcast, two language. So
yeah, I kind of dig.
Way to do it.
I dig the process of it. They do it in two different ways. And since they're very, you know, prolific in both languages, it's great to be able to cultivate that. Community. Go ahead.
Now someone in Switzerland needs to up their game and do a polyglot podcast where it's French, German, and Italian.
Oh my God. See, then have so many different people listening to one. Yeah. No, but that's really great. Thank you so much for that information about what's going on over there. I'm sure that it's going to be picking up so much more, because I've seen the rise of, Spanish voices a lot in this space. But we also want to kind of talk about a little bit about iVox, I think, or VOOX. I don't know how you would say it. I guess in Spanish it would be eVox. Mm-hmm. But that they mentioned. So this is something that came into the She Podcast site, and also I think in the Podcasters Hangout site, from Nancy. And she said, Needed advice. I posted this on another group and hope to get some help. Here's my dilemma. A website called iVox that pulls my feed. I discovered it when I saw they rank high when I Google my name. So I asked them to stop using my intellectual property, and the response was, quote, iVox is a web podcasts reader, and as you know, every time you decide to publish an RSS with your podcast, and by definition, it is needed up. It needs a podcast reader to be accessed by listeners. So we are not violating any copyright, and we are not re-uploading any file. We are just reading the public RSS that you publish. And if you do not want that a podcast reader, iVox or whatever other, reads it, you should stop publishing. And that's all. In other words, it doesn't make any much sense to offer an open service, in that case RSS podcast, and later complain that someone's using it. Hope we have explained correctly, and if you need more details, do not hesitate to contact us, unquote. So, and excuse, and I'm sure that this guy that wrote back is probably using, English is not a first language, so therefore the language right. might have been a little bit of a language, right. Something off there in between.
Right. And the person in She Podcast, she said, she asked if that was true, and she said she's pissed and I don't want my show on their site. What can I do? And she says, our RSS feeds, are they public and anyone can drive traffic to their site using its content? Is that right? And look, iVox, well, grammatically not correct there. And and English is tough to be grammatically correct when it's not your language. Logically is kind of correct in putting putting content on our feed and submitting it out to the webs makes it readily available. That said, when someone asks you to take down their content, you just do it. You just take it down. I don't understand iVox's reply, which is like, well, sorry, you made it public, so we're going to use it. That, you know, that's kind of jerkish. There's other words I would use, but we're G-rated.
Jerkish?
That said, there might also be a flaw in iVox's logic, too. When you are talking about a website, you know, which is what they said, and they're pulling the metadata, i.e. the descriptions, the episode titles, and your artwork, and then hosting that metadata on their sites, they are actually at that point rehosting content. Maybe not the audio content, but it is the metadata. And if they put ads on their site, then they are monetizing your content on their site, which they are rehosting. It might not be the audio content, but it is the metadata. So one solution might be to release your content under a Creative Commons non-commercial license. And maybe you can convince them to remove your content if they're putting banners around it. You know, by saying, hey, look, my content is Creative Commons, non-commercial. You're pulling metadata off my feed, which is okay. If you want to do that, fine, but you can't put banner ads. So you're violating my license. And maybe you play them that approach and maybe that works. You know, that all said, why would you not want your content out everywhere? Now, so I'll say this back to the producer. iVox is a big service there, and it's a good place to be discovered in Europe, as we heard. And if it's ranking high in a Google search engine, that means iVox is doing something good on their side on the promotion point. So, I mean, I can understand sometimes why you don't want to get your content out everywhere, but a site like iVox, it's like saying, well, I don't want it up on Stitcher, I don't want it on Overcast or something like that. So I would look at that point, but then on iVox's side, man, when someone comes to you and says, hey, take my content down, dudes, take the content down.
Yeah. And yeah. I think I was just thinking like, well, I do believe though, and I think I saw it on the other thread, that there is a link that you can submit into iVox to get your content down. I do believe that that was shared in the other Facebook group. So there is a place where you can request it, although I didn't follow that link, so I'm not quite sure. I was actually looking for it right now, but I should have been prepared. So if that's the case, then cool. Then you do the same thing that you would, we have had people that don't want their stuff to be on Stitcher. We have had people that, you know, need to have their stuff pulled out from iTunes. So it's understandable that in fact, we're going to be talking about somebody who had to do that very soon. So it would be really great, even if those, even if RSS is an open ecosystem, it's something that anybody can subscribe to. If you have something and somebody doesn't want to be on your site, then take it down. And I believe that they do have that set up. So until I can prove otherwise, I'll say that. But so yeah, that's about it for that perspective over on that side. If you guys have any other, or if you guys have dealt with iVox in some way, do let us know. So maybe we need to correct something, or we can, do a little bit something different to let you guys know, or even to share this information with Nancy. Mind you, Nancy is also not US based as well. So it would perhaps benefit her more to be more seen in the European side of things. Okay, here we go for another question. Good generic time of the day. Can't wait to hear about what you two think about this. And there's another link to radiopublic.com. And it's called Why Podcasting Still Needs RSS. And this is from Mike from Go Funk You, Funko Yourself. Go Funk You, Go Yourself.
Wow, future Elsie's going to have fun editing that one. Keeping the G rating there. Okay. All right. So as Elsie mentioned, this is about public radio, and Mike, we actually have talked about these folks before. These are the ones that came out of the PRX world, and I actually talked with them at Podcast Movement, and I mentioned this on the show. And what had struck me the most during the conversation at Podcast Movement is that they asked what I thought were all the wrong questions. Like, what do podcasters want and what do advertisers want? Never, you know, what do consumers want when they're trying to build a consumer-facing platform? So really, this is just another podcast aggregator app and another one claiming to help with the mythical podcast discovery issue. And part of that help is making you, the podcaster, do more work by flagging more things and adding additional namespaces to your feed for their app, which will really not ever pick up any meaningful amount of traffic, in my opinion. So I guess when they were asking what podcasters wanted, they missed that whole part about not any more work. Because, you know, we're kind of already overloaded. But really what they want is for you to add more metadata and info into your feed to make their app work better, and to do that by adding custom namespaces for their app. No. And I mean, I don't know anyone at that point who was listening to what I just said, said, oh, yes, I want to add more namespaces and more information at 2 a.m. No, you want to release it and let them figure it out. I have their beta of their app and I tried to use it. It is not easy to listen to what I already know I want to listen to. And when you click add, there's this big add button. It pops up a box where you can manually type in an RSS feed.
Wow.
WTF, is this 2004? What? And is this iPod or X? I mean, having the option to add an RSS feed is nice, but it should be more of a power user feature, not the first option.
Okay, yeah, because I mean, wow. most of them do have that, though. I mean, most podcatchers right. have that. That is a feature for podcatchers. It's just not the right. one that you see front and center.
Right.
Yeah.
When you see a big ad button and you tap that and it pops up a box and you're supposed to type in an RSS feed, whoa, mm-hmm. that was a huge red flag. Let's just say this. Overcast, Pocket Cast,
Castro.
They're not worried. Castro, they're not worried. They looked at this. Now, let me say this. It is in beta, and I'm sure it'll get better. Has to get better, really? But right now, it's not something I could see many new users being interested in, or power users either, for that matter. Once again, their recommendation feature is something they seem to be pushing, and I just don't see that as needed or wanted. I'm sure we will report on this again, because they come out of the PRX world. And here's even more annoying on the app is once you do add your podcast that you want to listen to, it goes below a list of like 15 or 16 different ones that they recommend. So even after you add the one you want to add, there's no way to take that one that you added and move it above the ones they have recommended, nor is there a way to delete the ones they recommended.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
User-friendly with a smile.
With a smile. With a smile. yeah. It's a, yeah. Oh, well. Well, there's that. That's what we think.
So, Mike, yeah, there. Yeah, maybe you shouldn't edit that earlier part of the misspoke.
Okay. Here, do you have a quick tip? You have a quick tip for Ellipse users?
Yes. If you ever go to upload a file and it says you're out of storage space, but you know you're not, say it's the beginning of the month and you have 400 meg of free space and you go to upload your hour-long episode that's typically 45 meg in size and you get this little error message about it not being enough space to upload. First thing you should do is post in social media. First thing you should do is look to make sure you're not accidentally trying to upload a .wav file or a .aif file that's uncompressed. If you do, we're going to give you an error message. And in the error message, by the way, the file name will appear, and it'll say that file name could not be uploaded. So look at that message and see if it says .wav or .aif at the end of it. 99.999% of the time when there is an error message that happens when a producer thinks it should not happen because of they're running out of space, it's because they selected the wrong file to upload. I've done this myself, which at 3 or 4 in the morning is really easy to do because you just, you know, you brought the AIF file over to iTunes and then you converted it or you thought you converted it to MP3 and then you dragged out or you dragged the wrong one out of iTunes onto your desktop and then you go to upload and you selected the wrong file. It happens. Our system is set up so that when it gives the error message, it shows you the file name. Just look for the file name to see if you have that. And that will save you all kinds of agita. You know, we allow any type of file format, so we can't just not allow the upload of a .wav or AIFF, because some people do want to actually upload uncompressed files and have direct links to that. So that's why we don't block them. We allow anything. So if you're curious in that. So again, if you ever get that error message, you don't think you should be out of space, just look at the error message and it'll tell you what you need. Or you could just post to social media.
Don't do that. Please don't. It hurts my heart. Oh my God. All right. So we have, this is what we were talking about before. I kind of bumped into this article. This was actually from a local bulletin at a, you know, at a specific little town where it kind of landed, somebody landed in some hot water for having a podcast where they had very unique type content. Right?
Yeah, I mean, the quote from the article was, a Sahara High teacher is on paid leave pending a investigation. Yeah, I'm not going to even try to say
okay.
Montega, thank you. Unified investigation triggered in part by a podcast talk show he conducted in 2011. One of the things about podcasting that's great is that your content lives forever. Sometimes that's not so great. By the way, this is not the first time someone's gotten into trouble at their day job because of something they said on a podcast. Nate Fulmer from the Nate and Die Show was fired from his job in spring 2005 because of his podcast or their podcast. That's the first known case of someone losing their job over their podcast. We've talked in the past about people getting a job because of podcasts. Well, you can just as easily lose your job.
That sucks.
So if you're a teacher, by the way, you really need to be careful what you say. To have a podcast talking about sex.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and see, the thing is, too, it's just like, you have to be careful what you say, but also what you cover, because it's like it was the subject matter. Because it's a different if you're having a conversation and maybe you say a little bit something colorful off the cuff, maybe a sentence or two, right? There's that. But then there's like whole shows that are colorful. And
yeah, I mean, you know. Yeah, I mean, if you're a high school teacher, probably not a good idea to be a guest on the Ropecast. Just right. Saying. Just throw saying. That out there. I mean,
yes.
There's certain shows you just don't want to be a guest on. You mean, you could be a teacher, you could be in bondage, that's great. Just don't do a podcast on it.
Yeah. Yes.
That's not what happened here.
No.
No, but I'm just saying that again, just use some common sense, especially if you're a teacher. Be careful about what you say. And you also, if you're not willing to take the recording you just did and hand it over to your boss, then best never to make that recording. Because you need to assume your current employer will eventually, or future employer, will find out about your podcast or any podcast you're a guest on. And if your job is one like a teacher, then yeah, you really need to be careful what you say.
And here's the other thing, too. It's like, you know, something that like but maybe before it wasn't as interesting, but I have this was like I believe it's high school, right? This was a high school teacher. Yeah, Sierra High teacher. So, you know, back in the day when we started podcasting, I do not think that there were very many high school students that were podcast listeners, right? But now, as you can see in a lot of the data that's been showing, there's a big rise in podcast consumption from younger people. Younger people are now a lot more into social media, into digital consumption, and their habits are all around their phones. They know how to get in and out. They know about YouTube. They understand all that stuff. So now they're going to be consuming things. And if you off the cuff, I'm sure if you say, hey, I had a podcast back in the day, most of them would go like, whatever that is, and forget about it and not even know what to do with that information. But nowadays, they know that. They understand what Google is and how to search things. And I'm sure that they found lots of information. So, go ahead.
Yeah, I got to bring up a point here, too, about the show Timeless. Remind me when we're done with this conversation.
Okay. So, and then the other thing is, the last thing that I wanted you guys to share is that we also went into this over on Tree Podcasts on episode 114 at a little bit of a deeper level. And it's, you know, if you guys want to kind of weigh in on that conversation as well. It's from a different angle, as always, but it just merits a conversation around this whole thing. So yes. So what's going on, Rob?
Okay. Well, first of all, because this reminded me, you said, you know, kids are in tune with you know, now they're listening to podcasts and all that, and it's becoming more mainstream. But also in that article, I should point out too, they had quotes about students Snapchatting each other saying, hey, it's time. Now we're able to finally get this guy fired.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, so if you're a good teacher and you're actually strict on the students and you really want them to learn, sometimes some of those students that don't want to learn are going to have a vendetta out for you. So you got to be careful. But you're mentioning it being mainstream brings me back. There's a new television show, Timeless, that just aired on NBC this past week. And at the beginning of the episode, one of the characters, she doesn't get her tenure and she says, I'm going to quit. Her sister says to her, you should quit. And then her response was, oh, well, we're supposed to live off the income from your podcast.
Oh, look at that.
Yes. But now, spoiler alert, they write the sister off at the end of the episode.
Oh my gosh.
Now the podcaster, we don't even find anything out about her podcast, what it was, what it covered. And they write her off, and now the whole series is going to be about trying to bring her back because then there's a change in the timeline. But spoiler alert, sorry. Hey, you should have watched it. But go watch it anyway. But they do mention podcasts. So they say that, you know, supposed to live off the income from your podcast. I thought that was very cute. And by the way, they didn't stop and go, oh, by the way, a podcast is – they just said it like people knew what it was. Gee, imagine that.
That's awesome. So we're getting somewhere, people. We're getting somewhere.
Yes.
All right. So we have another little comment. This one is from Karen Hoag, and she says, hi, Rob and Elsie, about the survey. It is only clickable in the show notes in one of the options. Not sure why. And this is she sent quite a few screenshots of the Apple's podcast app. And yes, sadly, you know, all the podcast app is not particularly very, very well designed.
Yeah,
for some of those.
Yeah, getting to tappable links in the podcast app is a lot like solving a Rubik's Cube sometimes.
Yes.
It's possible, just not easy. It takes multiple taps to get to the clickable show notes. Now, it's actually available in two different places. I wish Apple would make it easier to get to them. I mean, to get to it, you have to tap on the episode. You have a list of episodes and you tap on the one you want. Then you have to scroll down and then tap show more. And then you finally get to the linkable ones. Or you tap on the episode, it starts playing. Then you tap down at the bottom bar. Then you tap on the artwork and then it shows the links. And if that sounded confusing, yeah.
It is. Because
exactly.
Because it also doesn't have, I don't believe that the labels are also, they're not very helpful either, because it gets a little bit confusing in the things that you tap on there as well. And I know that there's been, and Karen, you're not the first person, of course, that sees these and maybe possibly even gives up or, you know, by looking at one thing that there is no, because it's also not even formatted. So in one part of the podcast app, it's very beautifully formatted. You see the show notes as you want them with clickable links and spaces and paragraphs and all of that stuff. But then there's another portion where it's all just jumbled. It's all text. It's just all jumbled together. Mm-hmm. So it makes it kind of really hard to read and it just looks overwhelming. So yeah, there's that. And mm-hmm. It's annoying.
And
go ahead.
I wish Apple would fix that.
Yeah. And also, I do believe, and I'm not sure because I haven't messed with it in a while. It used to be also that you can't access those links unless you either download or subscribe to the podcast. And that, for me, was a kind of a really tough thing. I haven't done that in a while, though. So I, you know, they might have updated that. But that's really challenging because there's a lot of the times when I'm looking. Let's say I am I do this a lot. I listen to podcasts. I forget about that I've listened to them. You know, they're already gone. And then for whatever reason, I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to, they mentioned this on this specific show. Like I do that with the MacCast all the time. Like he'll mention something that's been happening. And then later on I go, oh, what was that app that he was talking about? I think that he mentioned it in, you know, October 2015. And so then I go back into his feed and then I look down and I don't want to re-download it. I just want to look at the show notes inside of my app. So in the podcast app, I can't do that, or I wasn't able to do it. So I do it somewhere else. Okay, so we have a question for us. This is about tech. Hi, Rob and Elsie. We're two co-hosts with a new show, so we can't record weeks in advance. We also both travel for work pretty regularly and don't particularly want to travel with equipment or to record something separately. So we just use Skype or FaceTime audio for the traveling person talking into their phone or using earbuds with mic. It's fine for a guest, but sounds a little off for a co-host. Is there an option better than Skype that doesn't require the traveling person to do very much? Currently, the non-traveling person records with a mixer into a recorder and plugs the Skype phone into the mixer. When we're both traveling, we use the Ringer app, which works pretty well. When we have a guest and one of us is traveling, it's even more challenging sound-wise. And Ringer doesn't do three-way calls. Would love your ideas to give our remote audio setup an upgrade. Thanks. And this is from Margie. From the pollsters.
Right. And you know, I replied back and I said, honestly, off the top of my head, you're doing what I would have recommended. Skype for the traveling person. You might just want to look into a slightly better traveling mic for that person. You know, right now you said they're using the earbuds and the mic on the earbuds, or they're just speaking right into the phone. So if you don't like that audio, then I would recommend upgrading to a better traveling mic like the iRig Mic HD, which is good sounding mic that plugs into your iPhone 6 Plus or earlier. You don't want to use it on the 7 or 7 Plus as there's no headphone jack on those. For the 7 or 7 Plus, maybe you go with the ATR 2100 and you use a mic stand. They come with those little portable mic stands. Bring that. Don't hold it. It's bad for hand noise. You're not going to be able to hold it and not have hand noise come through. Ringer is something that I would have also suggested. One other thought is the iRig lav mic. That will give you better audio than what you're going to get from the Apple's mic, and it's really easy to travel with. But again, you do need an iPhone with a headphone jack. I haven't tried it yet, the iRig lav mic with my iPhone 7 Plus, which came this week, and I've been so busy that all I got to do was an unboxing video, and it's sitting here waiting and waiting and waiting, and I'm like,
get out,
I use my
crazy
phone.
Wow, that's.
But rather, I worked on show notes last night than setting up my iPhone because I love
Rob.
You guys that much.
Thank you.
So anyway, I would look at the iRig Lav mic, and hopefully next episode I'll have a little feedback on how that works with the iPhone adapter that plugs in. Hopefully, it'll still work. Elsie, what are your thoughts? Because, I mean, you've been on the other side of this, too. I mean,
yeah.
Any ideas?
The only thing that I could come up with, you know, is maybe up-leveling, like you said, with a microphone, like you mentioned. So to test that out, something that can be used on the go. And the other thing that I thought about was using some apps, because I've been also looking into being able to get decent audio using, like, third-party other, you know, other things. And what I thought about when you were saying, like, if you're having somebody else call in, so if you have another guest in addition to your co-host, was using something like Zoom, Zoom.us, which is sort of like a conference call type service, as well as Uber Conference. Both of them have web interfaces as well as apps. And I think that that's the reason that I'm bringing this up there. And they have phone numbers. So all those two services are the ones, there's actually more, but those are the ones that I would recommend to see if you can try to maybe test out when you have a third person joining in. And I would suggest perhaps up-leveling in some way your audio into your phone. So you would be using the apps, not necessarily the number. You would be using the apps on your phone so that you could connect with each other using those apps. Those apps will also automatically record the conversation, just like sort of like the way Ringer does it as well. But the only thing is that these recordings will not come back split with different tracks. It'll just be one track with all of your voices on it. The reason I say for you to use the app is because the sound quality for using the apps is better than if you use the phone number that's given. So if you call in to the number that is given to you by Uber Conference or by Zoom, then the sound quality of you joining into those calls is going to be subpar to what you already have. So that's going to be the sound of a phone call. Whereas if you're using the app, it actually sounds pretty decent. And the majority of the audio levels are also pretty good. So I would give that a go if you guys ever want to do, you know, three people or some kind of roundtable type of discussion. and test it. But again, I would test it out, and you would probably need some pretty decent bandwidth at least around. So those are the only things that I have to suggest. Oh, and you saw a little bit of feedback from Ryan Gray, huh, on Facebook, on the Facebook group about some stuff that you talk about all the time, Rob.
I'll let you read it.
Okay.
I'll gloat while you read it.
You'll gloat. Okay, so this was posted over on Podcast Harris Hangout. He said, I used to use WordPress to power my RSS feed with my files hosted at Libsyn. Every conversation I had with Rob was the same. Stop using your site to power your RSS feed. This morning, I released an episode with a guest who founded a Facebook group of over 60,000 passionate people. This morning, my site went down, as did a lot of sites on my host. If I was still using WordPress, I would be dead in the water. Thanks, Rob.
Well, Ryan, you're welcome. And see, there's that it worked out well for him. So I'm glad my hounding on him was able to get him convinced to switch over. And it seems like it saved his bacon, that his podcast still worked. And that's what he needed.
Good. I know. That's
Keep
really
your
great.
RSS feed away from your website. Can't say that enough.
It's tough. I mean, you never know when that's going to happen. You never know. And also, you never know when somebody else is going to do that to you. Because look at what he said. He said, my site went down, as did a lot of sites on my host. So you never know if you would have been on Ryan's host and you were like, what happened? I didn't do anything. So, okay. And then you've got another story. You want me to read this one for you, or
read this one, and then I'll read the quote. But yeah, read the first part.
Okay,
I love this. This is now one of my favorite stories. So
sweet,
I love this.
All right, hi Rob. I thought you might appreciate this. I guess people are slowly discovering podcasts on Google Play, and a senior producer at CNBC heard our Trek 50 episode celebrating Star Trek's 50th anniversary and wrote an essay on LinkedIn. Google may not be happening fast, but it is happening for sure. So, and then he has a link. This is from Bill from the Trek Geeks podcast, and he has a link, and I'll put a link in the show notes as well to this essay that was written about their podcast.
Right. And Bill, thank you so much for sharing this post in this LinkedIn post by Brian Donnellan, who's a senior producer at CNBC. And here's what he said, quote, while staring at my Google Play song list, there was a menu tab for podcasts. I knew these existed and was aware that several high profile entertainers, politicos, and athletes hosted these audio shows, but had never listened to any of them or had much of an inclination to do so. But the choice was simple. Same songs I've heard 1,000 times, or try something new. I opened up the options, and one of the first choices was Trek Geeks, a Star Trek podcast. It is hosted by two seemingly average guys, Bill Smith and Dan Davidson. The duo was offering a special edition of the podcast celebrating the 50th anniversary of Star Trek series, so I hit play and hit the road, unquote. The rest of the article is really good, and it's worth a read. And as Ozzy said, we'll have a link in the show notes. But the big takeaway here is, you never know who is listening or where they're going to be listening from. Be everywhere. If you're not in Google Play Music or iHeart or TuneIn or Stitcher, well, you need to be. Because again, you don't know where people are that may all of a sudden decide, hey, I've heard this podcast thing, I've seen it, I'm going to finally put my toes into the water. And you might have the show that they're interested in, like Bill did. So be everywhere. And I love the fact that this was someone who hadn't consumed podcasts before, but because of Google Play Music, seeing it there, decided to take that step. So kudos, Google Play Music. Kudos, Bill. And thank you, Brian Donnellan, senior producer at CNBC, for that really nice post.
That's very cool. Yay. Thanks so much. And thanks for listening to Indie Podcasters.
Yeah, I actually forward that post over to the folks at Google.
Hey. Nice.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. Very, very cool. So we have a little update now to the Feed app. So the Feed app, if you do not have it, please have it. You can find it on iOS or Android. And just search for Libsyn, the Feed, and you will find us. So there's an update for Apple Watch, huh?
Right. So the Feed app now has an Apple Watch app component to it. So make sure you have updated the latest version, especially if you have an Apple Watch. And this is what's included, and this is from our dev, Michael S. And Michael said the following, quote, "Most of the watch features are pretty self-explanatory, but I don't know if you noticed the watch upload feature. It's pretty cool. After you download an episode on the phone, there is an option on the episode detail page to upload that episode to the watch. Just click the little watch icon on the download button. The upload can take a little bit of time, but when completed, you can play back the episode on the watch without being connected to the phone. Just choose watch playback on the watch and when picking a playlist," unquote. This is really nice if you want to go out for a run and leave your iPhone behind, or even a swim now, because the Apple Watch 2 is waterproof. And there are Bluetooth wireless waterproof headphones, so this is especially nice for a swimmer. You can upload the episode of the feed, get in the pool, and get an hour and a half, 2 hour swim in sometimes lately with our episodes. So you can listen to it your whole swim or run. So that's nice. It means you can leave your iPhone behind and just consume on the Apple Watch, which I thought was nice. And then we redesigned the UI a little bit on the episode lists and improved some features there. So take a look at that if you haven't updated the feed app or downloaded it for that matter. Please do so.
Cool beans.
Oh, and the other thing it gives you is a little button now, and it says, you know, there's an episode that's new, and it shows you a little radio button on the app. So I like that feature as well. So now you know you're missing an episode. Which Yay. Is another reason why, if you're a podcaster, you need to have a smartphone app for your show, because you get it on people's home screen, and then there's a little button that says, one, they missed this episode. There's a little red one. They know, hey, you've got a new episode, and they go to it, and they hit play, and they listen to your show. So get an app for your show. Don't just listen to ours, but get one for yourself.
And now you can have it on the Apple Watch, which is kind of neato.
Yeah.
And then you're reporting on somebody that's looking for a job, huh? Somebody that's hiring a chief curator / content programmer,
Yeah, this is from Auto Radio. It's another one of those podcast discovery apps that are not needed. But hey, they want the role to be based out of their San Francisco office, so local folks only. And really, the app will likely fail. It's not a discoverability issue out there, so you don't want to be moving your family for this job anyway. But if you want a short-term gig and live in San Francisco, they are hiring. Go to autoradio.com/careers. Probably not the promotion they wanted, but hey, maybe you can help change their ways when you get there and tell them, you know, discoverability isn't as big an issue as you think.
Yeah, and from that, maybe we can go into somebody that's doing very well and very nicely. There was a lovely, lovely, very well in-depth article on Mignon Fogarty and Quick and Dirty Tips and her network and her partnership with Macmillan. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And they talked about not being a VC and why they, you know, they're focused on. This is a strange concept, a business that makes money. It's really a nice article, and read it. And of course, the Quick and Dirty Tips Network is powered by Libsyn Pro, just like Trek.tv and the Legal Talk Network, and Nerdist Industries Network, and many other networks that host on Libsyn Pro. But it's a nice article. I don't know if it was that article or another one I read recently where no, it was a different one. It was an article about MailChimp, and the folks from MailChimp were talking about how they started a business where they actually made money and didn't take VC funding, and it made them good at, I know this is a strange concept, by not taking money and actually having to worry about making money, it made them good at making money, whereas a lot of these VC startup companies that just take VC money, all they become good at is talking to the press, but not actually making money, because it's more about promotion than right. It is making money.
Yep. They get really good at getting more money. That's right.
And spending it. But whereas MailChimp, the guys are like, yeah, we got really good at making money, because we didn't take anybody's money. So I thought that was interesting. And then the Macmillan one had a little bit of that in there as well in that article. So, but yeah, read the one on Quick and Dirty Tips. It's a good article.
Fantastic, fantastic. So Patreon had a little bit of a PR about partnering with Podomatic, which was a little confusing to me, really. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, what was said with partnership was now you can add your Patreon button on Podomatic website. I did some research on this. And you know what other websites you can actually add your Patreon button to? Pretty much all of them. So really not much of a partnership, just a PR, just a press release. Podomatic is one of those companies that locks you in. We have more issues getting shows moved over from them and keeping their audience than anyone else. Sadly, not all podcast hosts respect podcasters enough to give them the tools they need to add in a redirect on their feed. Just always be careful when you sign up with a host that make sure that they allow you to add in your redirect on your own and not be reliant on them to do it for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Podomatic's just, it's not one I recommend because of that. You know, go to, if you don't want to go to us, go to Podbean, go to Blueberry, go to, you know, go to a service that allows you to put in your redirect and doesn't lock you in.
Mm-mm, that's not good. Right. And you have a little bit of more bad news, I guess, around podcasters trying to do things a little bit on the side. So there's some stuff happening with Google Drive, huh?
Yeah, we've mentioned this in the past. You don't use Google Drive or Dropbox to host your podcast. And I can't imagine anyone listening is, but maybe you are and you're new and maybe you had this issue. But it's time to get off of Google Drive. They have been cracking down on podcasts lately. But here's the key thing is this. Get off now while you can if you are using Google Drive. Because once your account's suspended, then we can't import your files over. And it's not like you can contact someone at Google customer service and have them reasonably talk with you because there is no customer service with Google. It's Google. Google Drive is not a podcast host. It should never, ever, ever be used as one. Same with Dropbox. They're not meant for that. If you don't want to host with us, you know, and you want to pay any money, go to Internet Archive. But by God, get off Google Drive. It's not where you want to ever use your podcast. And sadly, there were a couple tutorials out there that recommended it. They were written by clueless people that don't know anything about the space. Just don't use it. There.
That is all.
Oh my God. I've seen so many issues pop up. I mean, it's like Google Drive is like number two right behind WordPress issues and the iTunes support forms.
I'm not sure. I'd be so confused using Google Drive. It's just the interface itself would just, it's not a fun interface. It's not, it seems like it, yeah, I don't even want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. So, what do you have going on here with Libsyn and audio content and converting into video and all that fun stuff?
So, you know, we've mentioned recently that, you know, you can now easily connect your Libsyn account to YouTube and it'll automatically create a video version that's uploaded to YouTube. And a couple of points on this. One is, if you don't have episode level artwork, there is a place under settings after you set up the YouTube on publishing to then add a widescreen image to be used when creating the video file. So you can have a new widescreen image that looks better on YouTube if you're not for every episode. Now, if you do use custom artwork for each episode, then there is also a place to add the custom widescreen artwork on a per episode basis when you're creating the post. I highly recommend different artwork for each episode. It does look a lot better in YouTube when you do it that way. But either way, we support with special artwork. If you don't want to just use the square artwork because it doesn't look as good on YouTube, that said, I just use the square one. But I also want to point out the dark side of YouTube because we hadn't mentioned this. And there is pretty much nowhere else on the internet with worse trolls than YouTube. I mean, these are creatures that just live for leaving nasty comments. My son Henry has a new YouTube channel with just 2 subscribers, and I'm one of them. And already he received his first negative comments from a troll, and no, I was not the troll. I just want to put that out there in case someone says, well, 50-50 chance. No, I had to explain to him what trolls are, why they're idiots, and not to let any of their comments that they make on YouTube make him sad, which it did. He's like, I can't believe someone said something negative about my video. I'm just trying to do this. You know, he's just trying to learn. By the way, if you want to make him feel good, search for Henry Walsh and then subscribe to his awesome Gamer Mac YouTube channel, because he's competing with some of his friends to have more subscribers. But he's just getting started, so please, no negative comments. He's so sensitive. And he's just trying to get going in this world. But if you're sensitive too, understand when you post to YouTube, you're going to have trolls because that's just YouTube. Ignore the trolls there. And speaking of negative comments, I think that will segue us into our next segment.
Mm-hmm. Negative comments. Negative comments. Okay, no. Why do you hate us segment?
Hello, Elsie and Rob. This is Harris from the Sleep Whispers podcast. And here is a one-star review that I received. Little relaxation from this male voice. How did this make me feel? Deeply discouraged because I had put out 2 episodes and this was the very first review my podcast received. I really just felt like quitting. I decided to stick with it to see if anyone would like my podcast. And the next 18 reviews in a row were all 5 stars and very supportive. I've now put out 23 episodes, and last week my podcast was featured in New and Noteworthy in the alternative health category. So my advice to new podcasters is to be patient and allow time for your niche audience to find you. It will be worth the wait.
Okay.
Well, that was an interesting read.
So good for you, and hateful comments as well. We all can have a little bit of negativity and still succeed.
Don't forget to send us in your recordings of your 1-star or 2-star reviews, your negative reviews. Send those to us. Elsie, where do they send them?
Thefeed@libsyn.com. And do tell us, you know, how they made you feel. Like, you know, what's the scoop?
How did it make you feel?
How did that make you feel?
Hmm? Like Henry, my son Henry. He's so sad.
Oh my God, that's so sad. Yeah, it's no good. All right, so.
Stats question.
Stats.
You want to read this?
Yeah. So we have a little bit of stats, and this is from Natalie Ekdahl from Biz Chicks podcast. Hello, Vira episode. So my latest episode is the first one that feels like it's going viral. Only took 2 years and 9 months. I'm hearing from my audience that they're listening to the same episode multiple times. How do multiple listens by the same person impact my stats? I use Libsyn, so are my downloads reflecting each time a person listens or a new download? If technology makes a difference, 73% is Apple Core Media and 7% is iTunes. So there you go.
The answer is a very definitive maybe. Mm-hmm. It may affect your download numbers. Depends on how the person is re-listening. If they downloaded it into iTunes or the podcast app and it's a downloaded file and they keep hitting replay on that file that's already downloaded, they can replay it 1,000 times. It'll still be 1 download in your stats. If it's a stream where it's progressively streaming and they actually haven't downloaded to the device and they're going in and they're hitting play and it's just restreaming it, then depending on how often they're listening, it will be multiple plays. So if they listen once today and then once tomorrow and then once the day after that, then it would show up as 3 plays in your stats or downloads in your stats because it would be 3 different times and it's outside the window and we filter by username and IP address. And if they're hitting from different devices, so if they stream it on their computer and then go stream it on their iOS device and their different IP addresses and different user agents because of different devices, that will count as 2 plays as well. But if it was downloaded onto one device and then that replayed over and over and over on that device, it's still only ever going to be one download. So there.
Yeah. And then all of those apps, you know, sometimes maybe your listeners, depending on, because there's power users like most of us that are, you know, podcast obsessed, that we kind of set parameters, which is why Overcast is really good, because you can really specify exactly your, the way that you want to consume content, even based on podcasts. And sometimes these podcast apps give you the choice of either deleting the episode right after you finished it or keeping it on the device. So depending also, just like what Rob was talking about, maybe they don't even know that the podcast itself has remained inside of the podcast app as a download so that they don't have to re-download, or maybe it has been deleted already. What I tend to do is almost immediately, whenever I'm listening to an episode that I really, really dig, I sometimes don't even finish all the way through. So I'll leave it like in the last 5 seconds, and that way it'll always stay there, because I do tend to want to have all of my podcast that I listen to just immediately go away. But if there's something that I really dig, I just keep it on there and I don't re-download. And if it's a podcast that I know that I super dig and I can listen to their episodes all the time, then I'll just keep all of their episodes in my stuff. Like something like Dave's Lounge, which I think is an awesome podcast. Then, and because it's
great,
music.
Great podcast.
Yeah.
Great
and podcast. It's awesome. And I love to have his, like, I like to have like a bunch of his podcast always on my phone. So I've listened to some of his episodes numerous times over and over again. Mm-hmm. Because it's music and I like it and I don't re-download it. So it depends on your usage. And so those are things that you can't really count. You don't know how people are really actually consuming your content. So meh, kind of, sort of. And I know that you got a little bit more information. I know Natalie got a little bit more information about progressive downloads and things like that, but above and beyond technology, there's also usage that we cannot really verify, no matter what we try to do. I don't think there's any way to do that. So there. Are you ready for some stats, huh? People want stats.
All right. Let us get into the median and mean numbers for this episode and see how your show measures up. The median and mean numbers are based on episodes released in the month of August with downloads measured until the end of September. So on average, each file was about 45 days old. The median numbers for August was 169. It's up a little bit from 164 in July. The adjusted mean or average, where I throw out the top half percent and any files with 3 or less downloads, the adjusted mean was 2218. That's up from July when it was 2039.9. That 2218 is the highest that we've ever had. The previous high was 2206 back on November 2013. It will be interesting to see what happens next month. Was this a 1 month aberration?
Right.
Or was it a trend? 9.1% of all downloads were in the 5K range or greater for downloads. That's not the highest it's ever been. The highest it's ever been was 9.2%. That is the magical number some advertisers look for downloads for campaigns, especially demographic ones. Yes, just about 1 in 11 of all episodes are at that level for getting ads via, again, demographic ad campaigns. Here are some real numbers to measure up against and to put things in perspective. If your episode is getting over 169 downloads after 30 days, you're better than half the shows. If you're getting more than 1,500, you're better than 80% of the shows. More than 4,100. You're better than 90%, better than 10,500. You're better than 95%, better than 31,000. You're better than 98%, better than 62,000. Then you're better than 99% of the shows. Those numbers were all up. Every one of those was up compared to previous months. Not sure, again, if this is a blip or a trend. I am sure it's a blip because it's only 1 month. won't know if it's a trend for a few months.
Yeah.
So I need more data points before I can say it's a trend. But right now it's a blip. Will this turn into a trend? We do not know. We'll know in a few months from now. More stats on user agent info on the next episode. I haven't run that through yet. It'll be interesting to see if we hit the 80% mark for downloads yet. We were really close last month. But again, that will be on the next episode. So we'll save that jug of milk for the next episode.
All right.
All right. So where have we been?
Yeah.
I was at the LA Podfest in, well, of course, LA. And the attendance was down a little this year because later in October, there is a very similar event also in LA, but put on by Midroll, in a kind of really jerkish move by Midroll for putting it on so close in time and location. Not cool, guys. Really not cool at all.
I know.
I was invited to go out to that event. Yeah. And they actually sent me an email and said, hey, you want to come out? And I respectfully declined. Okay. Well, it was not so respectfully as I kind of thought, told them what I thought of their timing of their event. But I declined nonetheless. But then again, maybe never blame on malice, which can easily be explained by incompetence, as I hear the Midroll event for their ticket sales are really hurting. Duh. Okay, that all said, I really enjoyed the LA Podfest. It is a very well-run show, and there were great podcasts doing their live events. Welcome to the Night Vale was there, and Dollop, and a lot of the great shows were there. But even with a slightly down attendance, and it wasn't all that much off, but with slightly down attendance, I was slammed the whole time this year. I was twice as busy this year than any previous year. There were a lot of people interested in getting into podcasting. Now, here's a story I have to tell.
Ooh.
I'm at the Libsyn table. I'm setting up. This is the first day. So I'm in there setting up my business cards, trying to get everything organized in my OCD way, even trying to get them into categories. And I kid you not, this woman comes up and she says this. She goes, quote, I've been involved in podcasting since 2011. And who are you Libsyn people? I know podcasting space and I've never heard of you.
What? Unquote. Get out.
So first, if you say you know the podcasting space and you ever heard of Libsyn, no, you don't.
Oh my gosh.
And I tried to politely explain that. Okay, maybe I wasn't that so polite. I mean, if you never heard of us, then you don't know podcasting considered polite. I mean, if it's said in a really nice tone. Ultimately, her involvement in podcasting was really, as near as I could tell, more about listening.
Oh, I see.
And advising podcasters.
What?
She comes out of the radio world, from what I could gather, or I don't know. She was dropping names like they were hot potatoes.
Oh my gosh.
But here's something. This made me realize this later on. I was thinking about this. Libsyn is actually doing our job really, really well.
Uh-huh.
This year, we're going to deliver over 25% of all the downloads that come through iTunes and the podcast app. No one else is over 10%. Yet this woman, who has been, quote, involved, unquote, in podcasting for 5 years plus, does not know who we are. Perfect. Our job is to get out of your way and let you put your brand first. Right? That's what our job is.
Now, that is true. You're right. You're totally right. Absolutely.
And her comments validated what we are actually doing and that it's working. Our tools are designed to help you be everywhere and maintain control of your show everywhere it is. And yes, I think we're doing a good job on that front. I mean, sorry to rant, but that story from LA Podfest will be one I tell for years. It may change. She may have been two Swedish models that came up and said that. But the basic story is going to stay the same, that this woman came over and said that, you know, they've been involved in podcasting and she never heard of us. And yes, that's what we do. You put your brand out there first. We get out of the way. And she validated that, our business model and how we do it and our approach. So thank you from that point of view.
Well, good. That's a way to turn things around in a positive thing. So yeah, keep going.
Yeah. I thought about that. I started thinking about it. I was like, wait a second, but you know, a lot of people don't know who Libsyn is. 99.9% of people listen to WTF or Joe Rogan don't know who Libsyn is. And that's a good thing because one, it means our shows are delivering and they're not complaining about Libsyn. Right. And two, we're not getting in the way of the brand. They're just letting them do their thing, letting you guys do your thing.
Very cool.
Per the LA Podfest, I mentioned I would talk about the panel session, and that panel session changed a little bit from what I thought it was going to originally be. There were actually four of us and it was moderated by Esprit. And the four companies on the panel were Libsyn, Art19, Acast, and Omni Studios. Oh, it was a fun panel.
Wow.
Now, Art19 did say they are not trying to kill the RSS feed, which was nice to hear. He said that up there on the stage. That is a little different from what was said in the press by others at Art19, but definitely good to hear that they are not trying to kill the RSS feed. I really, really tried my best to be nice on the panel. I was trying to be good, Rob. I think the one time I had to smack down something, it was with one of the panelists that said, go shorter with your content, make your episode shorter. And I was like, no, no, the biggest shows are the longer shows. Don't worry about length. Stop worrying about length. Is it too short? Is it too long? Don't worry about that. If you have an hour of content, do an hour. If you have 2 or 3 hours of content, do a 2 or 3 hour episode like we're doing today. but don't artificially shorten your show. Podcast listeners, based at least on downloads, like longer form audio. You know, that's all that really matters. Look at the downloads. What are the shows that are most popular? It's the longer form audio. Don't go short because someone tells you go short. That's just crazy speak. If you have an hour content, do an hour episode. If you've got 2 hours, do 2 hours. If you've got 5 hours, well, I guess do 5 hours. But what it doesn't hurt Dan, and it won't hurt you. All right.
All right.
Where are we going? We're in that segment now.
We are October. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, wait, yeah. No, you go first.
No, because it's you. Sorry. You're going. You're going to the on October 14th. It's coming up here.
Right. I will be speaking at the Society of Adventists Communicators. I was doing a podcasting panel session. It was going to be three of us, and now it's me. So now it's a podcasting 101 session.
Oh, wow.
And so that will be, yeah. So now I get to do a whole session and do an hour and then a half an hour of Q&A. So it's great. So I'm happy with that. I like that way better. And then I speak at 2 and then I fly back that night. So I'm fly out in the morning, do an hour and a half, get back in the cab, go to the airport and fly back. In early November, both Dave Jackson and myself will be speaking at the DC Podfest. That's dcpodfest.com. Please come to that show. If you're in the DC area, if you can drive to it, we want to see you there. I will do a myth busting session. You want to be there. You want to see it. And then see, November 12th at 4 p.m. That's Saturday, November 12th, 4 p.m. Central Time, Overland Park, Kansas. The KC Podcaster Meetup will be at the Grid. I will be doing a podcasting session. This will be a good one to go to. In October, I did a session called Marketing Your Podcast, Getting the Fame and Fame and Fortune. If you know me, you know that's tongue-in-cheek for that title. And in November, the session will be titled Monetizing Your Podcast and Getting the Fortune in Fame and Fortune.
Oh, my gosh.
See how I had fun with that?
You did fun with that.
So these are two sessions to cover fame and fortune, because why else are we, right? Everyone's
right,
into
exactly.
One or the other, right? I will be going over different ways to monetize and tricks for big and small shows. Put it in your calendar. For more info, go to meetup.com, search for KC Podcasters, Kansas City Podcasters. And if you are in the Kansas City area, you should be attending these meetups. So there. Let's see. I'll be speaking at Training 2017 conference February 1st in San Diego. I'm doing my 3-hour clinic, no break. Go to the bathroom beforehand and don't drink any water during conference session where I do 101, 201, and 301. That'll be fun. By fun, I mean 3 hours with no break. And then put in your calendars PodFest. I'll let you talk on this one.
Yeah, on PodFest, we're actually starting over February 23rd to the 25th, but the day before, on that Thursday, She Podcast is putting on an event called PodFusion, and it's going to be a little bit different than what you're kind of used to. It's not going to be one of those things where you come into the room and you sit down and you watch Jessica and I do a PowerPoint presentation, and there's you just sitting, writing notes, and possibly tweeting out what you're watching. It's going to be more immersive.
Which, by the way, could still be fun right there.
Yes. It could be. It's just that we're going to do it a little different. So there's going to be some engagement. There's going to be some like hands-on work creating content, trying new things as a podcaster, trying to do some on-the-spot interviews, doing some like super super, we're actually going to be doing some exercises that some of the radio people do to get some stuff. So we're going to be kind of distilling some radio stuff and empowering the indie podcasters to be able to use some of those things to create better content. And not to say that radio is better, but what I'm saying is, like, for us to start to break patterns in the way that we're used to creating content. So that's our whole thing. If you're used to doing things one way, maybe we can, like, break you out of that creative sort of like a stalemate that maybe you're in to try something different. If you don't do interviews, you'll do a little bit of an interview. If you're always doing interviews, maybe doing a solo kind of thing. So we're going to kind of engage you guys and create content together. So it's going to be super fun. And we're going to have our very first ever She Podcast Awards. The awards are actually going to be honoring women in the space that have done some really amazing things, and particularly honoring those that have been doing really good stuff inside of She Podcast as well. So this isn't one of those things where you nominate. It's sort of like we just pick people. So we take that out of the equation. We'll pick people and we're giving fun awards. So it's not going to be like best podcast in category. It's going to be, they're very unique titles and it's going to be fun. And that's all in this birthday. So yeah, but there's also the event itself is going to be amazing as well for the rest of the time. So we can check that out.
All right. And let's see. Libsyn will be exhibiting at Proclaim 2017 show the end of February into early March, also in Orlando, so it's like a week later. This is the old NRB, which is the National Religious Broadcaster Show. If you're planning on going and would like a pass or want to go and want to get a pass, I think I have two passes to give out, let me know because I need someone to cover for a little time so I can go get a bathroom break or grab a lunch or whatever, because I usually do the show myself. So if anyone wants to go and gets a free pass and just want to spend a little time at the Libsyn booth and put your cards out and promote yourself, let me know. Email me, rob@libsyn.com. So I'm sending that out now and see who the first group of people are that respond. And then finally, we will be the silver sponsor at Podcast Movement. That will be in August 2017. We're looking forward to that, of course. As always, if you have an organization or event and need someone to speak about podcasting, just email me, rob@libsyn.com. We have a few people that can help on that front. I mean, we've got some great speakers, Elsie, yourself, and Dave, and Crystal, and myself. I think we've got a pretty good team when it comes to being able to get out there and talk about podcasting.
We could talk about it for a whole day.
We could. We could talk about it.
Oh my God. All right.
But we can cover any subject you want. So if you need someone to come out and talk in a non-spamish way, I mean, that's one of the things you'll hear about. We talk, we don't spam Libsyn. We don't have to. We just want to come out and help people learn how to podcast. I mean, that's my goal.
Super. And if you have any feedback, please email thefeed@libsyn.com, thefeed@libsyn.com. You can send us audio feedback there, or you can just download our app, both for Android and iOS. Again, search for The Feed Libsyn, LIBSYN, on those app stores. Download it for free. And there's a little, you can tap in there just to contact the show right away. It's a phone number. So don't worry about calling it at any time and leaving us a voicemail that way. You also can call us directly, 412-573-1934, and ask us any questions there that you would like. And what else? SpeakPipe. We have SpeakPipe, speakpipe.com/thefeed. Get your messages to under 90 seconds, and we will also put them on the show. So this podcast is actually fueled by you guys, as you can tell, by your questions, by your suggestions, and we just bring you the best information that we can from that. So we will talk with you guys in a couple of weeks. Yes.
And if you want to help a 10-year-old out, remember Henry Walch, WALCH, in YouTube, his awesome Gamer Mac channel. Just subscribe.
Yay. We'll do that. Okay. All right. Okay. Bye.
Ciao.